I've got Richard and William here from the Western Beacons Mountain Rescue Team. Tell me a little bit more about the service and how you operate and what you're all about.
So basically, we're Western Beacons Mountain Rescue Team. We're based in Bridgend and cover from Penarth to Aberaeron and everywhere west of St David. So it's quite a big geographical patch, one of the biggest of any UK mountain rescue teams. Effectively, we're called out by the police for either searching for vulnerable or missing people, or for a potential search in an urban or rural area. Also, we do technical rope rescue work as well as water rescue in terms of swift water rescue and inland waterways. That's a general summary.
So you're called Western.
Yeah.
Does that mean if anyone gets lost on the eastern side of the mountain, you just leave them there, or do you? How does that work?
So we're part of a wider association. There are four mountain rescue teams in South Wales: Central, Longtown, and Brecon are the other three. And obviously, we've got different geographical areas that we cover, but we also work together for certain big calls, such as an area call, where there's more people required. So we'll work together as a four teams. When we need to.
So normally what you get, do you have special phones or radios or whatever? You're on call now, aren't you?
Yeah, we are on call now.
So disappear every moment.
This could be a very short radio show. and a guest appearance could be a fleeting one.
So are there any mountains in the heath, or do you have to go quite far?
Well, I think we'll be safe and sound here unless it's a search. But yeah, I think effectively the way we're called out is by the police. So if anyone was in need of our services, whether that's be search or trapped or needing our help, they would first of all dial 999 and ask the police for mountain rescue, and then the police would deploy us to that incident. We're all on call 24/7, 365 days a year, sort of day and night, whatever the weather. And clearly, if some of us are working, then we would have to respond into our system, our local star call system, and say what our availability is. And if we can make it, we can. And if obviously the coordinators then will understand what capability and capacity we've got in terms of who's going to respond to the call.
So you go off in your car and meet somewhere near the incident?
Yeah, and so some people can either go direct to where the incident would be, and obviously we get the RV location sent to us by text or by email, or we can go to base, which is, as I said, is close to Bridgend, and meet up with a team vehicle there. Clearly, the travel times between some of our call-outs could be St David's or very rural West Wales, or it could be, you know, just up the road and on some of the beacons above Ammanford or the Swansea Valley.
Rich, we know each other from being first responders together, so I want to know how you fit all this in with your full-time day job, which I believe you've got. What do you do?
I'm actually an estate agent for full-time.
Right, okay. So you don't do much during the day then?
So, no. Cheeky.
Yeah, so how do you fit all this in?
So, yeah, a lot of the training is on evenings, weekends, so I'm actually still just training at the moment, so I'm not operational with the team at the moment, but it shouldn't be too long. I've been with the team about 8 months now, and go through quite a bit of training, rigorous training, and as I say, a lot of that's evenings and weekends, so it does take up quite a bit of time, but it's a great team, really enjoyable. So,
how many in the team?
So there must be about 40 team members.
40?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But obviously, with people with work, obviously, it's difficult to get everybody on on a call out. So, you're always looking for extra people.
So when you log on, just to show your availability, so they know that there's a team of so many available.
That's what will happen. Yes. Yeah. But as I say, I'm still training at the moment. So, shouldn't be. Hopefully, won't be too long before I'm out on the hills.
So, how many is a minimum that you would require for a mountain rescue? How many people?
I think it really depends on the job. So obviously, some people responding, we could do a job with five people potentially, or we potentially need plus 30 plus, and then the potential to call other teams in that I've mentioned earlier. So I think it just depends on the incident and what we're called to do. Yep. I think clearly we need to try and get a minimum number out. So it's probably the minimum is five we'd need to be able to do something, whether that be a search or a technical rope system. But as Richard said, I think the more people we can get involved and through basic training onto the call-out list, the better, really. I think there's obviously operational hill members that go out and attend call-outs, but there's also support members we've got to do things like incident control and sit in the vehicle doing all the prep and planning. We'd be interested in hearing from anybody who wants to get involved in the team.
So if there's a particular incident, for instance, and there's 10 of you logged on, somebody controls which people you would particularly want for that particular job, or how does it work? They certain skills for
I think everybody's trained up to the same basic standard. Okay. So effectively we've all got the same skill set. Obviously some people are far more advanced in certain areas like rescue, or myself, to be honest with you, I'm water rescue officer as well as being deputy team leader. So I've gone through an advanced Swift Water Rescue course, but clearly we've got other people that have got internationally recognised qualifications in Swift Water Rescue. So there are specifics in terms of, obviously, we would only deploy those Swift Water trained people for a water and river rescue for their safety and to try and get the job done as quickly and effectively as possible. But really, we rely on people having that core standard across a range of different disciplines, such as navigation, medical skills, search skills, and to name a few.
So I would imagine there's a lot of gear involved when you have to go out on one of these rescues. Yeah. So how does that work? Where is that all kept?
So we've got obviously bases where we keep some of our stuff, but obviously we've got vehicles that are ready to be operationally deployed at a moment's notice. So as we said before, we could get a call out now and we'd have to get back to Ipsan or go direct, but the vehicles are almost in a state of readiness to deploy as soon as we get the call from the police. And obviously we've got a load of technical equipment on there. We've got ropes, we've got technical rope systems, we've got medical kit on that, the stretchers we've got on those vehicles as well, and we've just got a dedicated water vehicle that's just come online in the last few months.
So you're still training, Rich?
So I'm still training.
So you take the ropes home and get your missus up on the roof, and
that's the way. Yes,
trying to bring her down. Yeah,
I thought that was practice all the.
There's been a few good work, a few complaints in Rabina, aren't there?
Yeah.
William, what do you do as a day job?
I actually work for the NHS as my day job.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, okay. For my sins.
Oh,
yeah.
What do you do?
I work for an organisation that supports health boards across the whole of Wales.
Okay. So yeah. Where are you based?
We're based in Bridgend.
Oh, okay.
But very rarely in the office. I'm usually in a hospital. So this morning, today, I've just come back from Wrexham.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would I have to do to get involved in becoming a mountain rescuer?
I think really, Howard, it depends what you want to do, whether you want to join as an operational member or whether you just want to join as a support member. So either way, we'd definitely welcome your interest. And I think, you know, we're looking for people over the age of 18, really, to become members, either in a support
definitely
role.
Qualify. That's probably the only thing I qualify.
Yeah, and likewise. But that's either in a support role or as an operational rescue member. I think, obviously, being a volunteer, you're assisting your community through the activities, but obviously getting a sense of well-being by engaging and getting involved with like-minded people who want to try and contribute. So I think you need a good level of fitness if you were going to become a operational member. You've got to have good teamwork and communication skills, and obviously be available to attend. It's fairly intensive and demanding training, but obviously it needs to be for a reason, for some of the stuff and the work that we get involved with. So I think if you wanted to get involved, you can contact us via our website, which is westernbeacons.org.uk. And there's an application form there and further information around the team, the history, how to join, and around our fundraising, which I'm sure we'll come on to have a conversation about shortly.
Yeah. So you're looking for people right now to join in?
Yeah, I think due to the fact that we've got sort of not a turnover of members, because we've got quite a consistent number now in terms of in that, but we're always looking to take in about two times a year. So yeah, more than happy for people to come along, get in touch on the website, as I said, or just come down to base on a Monday evening to meet some of the team and to learn more about what we get up to in terms of our training and then the service we provide.
And the fitness, the courage you need for something like this?
I think you definitely need sort of a basic level of fitness if you were going to be operational rescue member, without a doubt, because, you know, we could be out for up to 8 hours at a time, but actually we prepare to go out and be self-sufficient for up to 24 hours at a time. So we're probably one of the, you know, unique in that sense. But I think that preparation makes what we do professional, even though we are volunteers. I think, obviously, though, we talked about support members as well. And that's in terms of fundraising. It could be just supporting in terms of driving. So therefore, obviously, there's a different set of requirements in terms of that, which encourages, hopefully, a wider set of people to be able to come and join the team.
And out in all weathers, of course, as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think most of our call-outs happen in the evenings or when it's dark. Yeah. So yeah.
The rainiest time of the day.
Getting up at sort of 3 o'clock in the morning on a January cold, wet and windy day is good fun. But there's no such thing as bad weather, Howard. It's only poor preparation.
Well, it's funny, I was just about to say that, because I read an article the other day of something, I don't know if it was in Wales, of a woman going up, I think it was actually, going up Snowdon or something in flip-flops and no water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if she had to be rescued, but it seemed a bit of a daft thing to do. So
I'm not sure. I think we're certainly not there to sort of police the countryside. We're there to try and provide a rescue service and a search and rescue service. clearly there are some people that potentially could be a little bit better prepared, but it's not for us to comment on that. It's just for us to try and give that mountain safety message around some of the key things of, you know, don't be reliant on a phone for navigation. The battery could obviously go on that. I think you need to have some basic navigation and map reading skills for backup, so when your navigation and your electronic devices do fail you. And I think another good idea is to try and get text 999 on your phone. So rather than rely on a phone signal, you might be able to get a text through to get the rescue from our team or another mountain rescue team that's when it's required, when you've, I suppose, most need us.
That's a really good point, because yesterday my daughter went on a volunteering day, and she was told to do text 999. I asked her why can you just dial 999? Well, you just answered the question. So if you're in a situation where you haven't got good signal, you can just use that.
And I think it's the state of play, isn't it? In the modern age, everyone's quite reliant on their mobile phones now. Certainly I am. I'm sure a lot of people listening are as well. But I think it's just having that backup in terms of some safety stuff, in terms of, you know, the weather at the bottom of a hill, even Penavan in a local area, is not the same as it is at the top. So I personally wouldn't go around wearing flip-flops, because, you know, anybody can just go over and twist an ankle, and then you're going to be probably needing our assistance quite quickly.
And how does that work with helicopter rescue? Do you get involved in that, or are there specialist people?
So the RAF used to provide that search and rescue helicopter. I think it then got taken over by the Coast Guard Service. So the Coast Guard have got St Athyn helicopter, and we also obviously work with the Welsh Air Ambulance as well. So we train with the Coast Guard helicopter and the guys at St Athyn down there, and we've got to have both electronic training in terms of online modules, but also then aircraft familiarisation, and then actually out on the winching with the aircraft and the Coast Guard team there. So yeah, we work in conjunction with them to try and get somebody as quickly as possible to hospital. Clearly, some of our work, if the helicopter can't fly or it's low cloud or bad weather, then we've got quite a long stretcher carry. So that comes back to that good level of fitness in terms of, it's surprising how many people in terms of rotation of people, but also the physical demanding nature of carrying somebody off a hill for a number of hours potentially. But that's the aim, isn't it? To get someone for us to provide that pre-hospital care, because we're trained to quite a high level in pre-hospital care, and, you know, some of us have passed our casualty care exams. But obviously we want to get someone to a hospital if they require further medical attention as quickly as we can.
I just want to ask a question of, obviously you're called Western Beacon. Do you go internationally? Do you get calls from elsewhere in the world? How does that work?
I think, no, generally we don't. We are obviously, as I said before, most of Mid and West Wales. And there are obviously other UK search and rescue teams. Nationally, what we do get covered and called into potentially is water rescue or flooding incidents, as have happened in sort of the Lake District and Cumbria over a number of years ago. So there's a potential that we could be part of the either a South Wales regional with working with the fire service and obviously the rescue services in South Wales, or a wider national DEFRA response in terms of a flooding incident, wherever that could be in the UK.
Right. So I want to tell you about my experience and why I'd be no good at this climbing business. So I went to Go Ape in West Wales with some friends a few years ago, and we were up in, you know, I like to say it was about 1,000 foot in the air. It was probably about 20.
I won't tell you how high it is, but yeah, 1,000 foot, yeah,
something
okay.
like that. And of course you're attached by ropes, so it's all nice and safe, and there's a guide who takes you through it all. And my missus was there and a couple of friends, and they went through, and there was this sort of step rope thing, and I thought, and they go, and you know, they make sure you put your foot on every step and make. I thought, oh, you know, they're ahead of me, I'm going to miss one. And of course, I did miss it, went straight through, ended up upside down.
Yeah.
And they had to come and rescue me.
Okay.
So they had to cut the rope down. It was great for them because it got them out, and they loved it. I was just screaming for help, upside down, 1,000 foot in the air.
Yeah.
Thinking I'm never going to do this again. So. Have you ever had any embarrassing incidents or funny incidents whilst you've been out? Have you ever had to be rescued yourselves, for instance?
Nothing that sort of springs to mind. I think we obviously have a bit of a laugh in terms of making sure that when we're training, we enjoy the training, as well as obviously getting through the hard work in terms of understanding that we need to be at a high level to be able to deliver the service we do. So I think there's been a few bits and pieces from training elements that we've sort of had a good laugh at as a team, but then we've made sure that we rectify that, and if it was an issue, and we're ready to provide the service in terms of when we are called out, we're bang on and ready to go.
Right, okay. So never any embarrassing moments.
Not
because I've been out with Richard, you know, responding a few times. I know what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions about how you're funded. Can you tell us how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a potential misconception. I think a lot of people believe that we're sort of professionally funded. I think we do get a small grant from Welsh Government divided amongst the teams across the whole of Wales, but really we rely on public donations and we are completely voluntary. So I'm going to do a little bit of a plug here.
Yeah,
now.
Carry on.
We've got obviously our website I gave earlier, which is westernbeacons.org.uk, but also we've got our Twitter account, which is at Western Beacons, where you can find a link either to our Just Giving page or to a donation page there. So if you can help us or support us in any way, that'd be massively appreciated. Obviously, some of the kit we've got is quite specialist equipment, and obviously we've got vehicles as well. So that alongside our training, it takes between £25,000 to £30,000 a year to run the team. And obviously we're 24/7, as I said before, 365 days a year, and get good feedback. And you know, obviously from the police and continually called out for having a professional service. So if anyone can support the team in any way, we'd really appreciate it, either by sponsorship or a donation.
Yeah, so everyone out there who's listening to this, please put your hands in your pocket and send donations their way. They do a fantastic job. It's all volunteers, as we all are here at Radio Glamorgan as well. Fantastic cause, and I'd like to thank Rich and William for being with us tonight and spending time here at the radio station and telling us what you're all about.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
You've been powered by Howard. This is Radio Glamorgan with Howard Jacobson.